Apostle was taking a bunch of children home from school one day, and they passed a fire truck, and they saw this image. They saw an image of a Dalmatian dog sitting in the front seat of the truck. And the children started discussing, well, what is the role of that dog? I mean, we know what the captain of the truck's supposed to do, and the driver, and the hose man, but what's the role of a Dalmatian dog? And so one kid said, oh, they use him to keep the crowds back. You know, they put the dog out there to intimidate the crowd. And another kid said, no, that's not what they use him for. He's just a mascot. He's just there for good luck. And the third child said, no, you're both wrong. The answer is, they use him to find the fire hydrants. Don't know, but never asked. But, you know, what is your role at church? What is your role when you worship here with us? As we closely study, as we close our study of the book of Colossians, we see Paul, the missionary, saying his customary goodbye, where he lists and mentions the people that he worked with and what they meant to him. And our church, that's because a church is made up of people. A church is people. We see people in this church. And every believer needs a church to stay centered on Christ. If you try to go on your own way, you try to worship on your own, it's hard to stay centered on Christ. We need a church to do that. Otherwise, we'll be centered on ourselves. And so if you want to pull out your sermon outline, out of your bulletin, the first fill in here says that soul winners must be friend makers. You know, we're all supposed to be soul winners, working together to share the gospel, but good soul winners are friend makers. See, Apostle Paul started all of these churches, and he did it because he wanted to reach souls for the gospel. But he was also a great friend maker. They were not just converts. They were just not statistics. They became his friends. And so at the end of Colossians, as we close this letter, we see that he mentions 9 different men. If you read the book of Romans, he mentions 26 people that worked with him in sharing the gospel. And that tells us that we can't do it by ourselves. No matter how spiritually strong, no matter how educated you are in the scriptures, you need help. You need Christian friends. In fact, many of our adult baptisms over the last 15 years have come out of our small groups. Because being a part of a small group, we encourage one another and we win souls together. I encourage you to join a small group if you're not part of one. It's a great way to share the gospel message. If you want to further the kingdom of God, you must make friends in the church. You must work together with other people. Now, normally when you get to the end of a letter of Paul and he starts listing the names, we just kind of read fast through it because it's not that interesting. When you read genealogies of Jesus, we kind of read fast through it. But man, if you look at the names and you do a little search on who these people are, it's very powerful. It shows us that these are ordinary men doing extraordinary work because we serve an extraordinary God. So our first point here says, how will you serve God? What is your role here at Northwest? And we see in our passage today that some were sent. We look at Colossians 4:7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. At the time of this writing, Paul is in a Roman prison. I believe that's where he's at. He's in a prison, and he's writing these letters. See, today, communication is instant. It's amazing how fast communication is. We can text or call anyone anytime because we all carry our phones with us. And it's instantaneous. But in the New Testament, they didn't even have a postal service. Communication took weeks and months. If you wanted to contact someone, you had to go yourself or you had to send a letter by hand. And so people were eager for news. And Paul had chosen Tychicus and Onesimus to bring the news. And what he was bringing was he was bringing a letter to the people at Colossae. And that letter became the book of Colossians, one that we have been studying. So Tychicus he's described as a beloved brother. That meant he was important to Paul. Paul loved him like a brother. He's described as a faithful minister. That meant Paul knew that Tychicus would never let him down. He's also called a fellow servant. That meant Tychicus was always ready to serve. So he asked Tychicus to take this letter to Colossae, a journey of many miles. In other parts of the New Testament, we find that Tychicus actually shared Paul's Roman imprisonment. It was a great blessing to have him to help take care of Paul. He was someone who was sincere, dependable, and reliable. If you're a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, you have someone in your life who's dependable. You have someone in your life who's reliable. It really gives you great encouragement. And Onesimus, his name means one of you. He's one of you. And he's actually a runaway slave. And Onesimus was a runaway slave who belonged to Philemon. And Philemon is another book of the New Testament. But when Onesimus was in Rome, it's believed that he became a Christian through Paul's ministry. Now, Paul was sending Onesimus back to his master with the letter that we know today as Philemon. And in this letter that the slave is carrying to the master he ran away from, Paul is asking him to receive him and forgive him. And we don't know what happened with that situation, but I believe Philemon did the right thing. And so these two men were carrying this letter. They were sent by the church to go to this other church. And they were sent to inform the church about Paul's situation, and they would add additional teaching and instruction. And so we see today that in a church, some are sent out. We have missionaries around the world. We have missionaries today up in McNary. We have people that go across the street and are sent to share the message. So the question for you today, is God sending you somewhere? Is God going to send you? Maybe on a long-term trip or a short-term trip, but does God want to send you somewhere? Then we also see that some of the people, the next point says some stayed. Some stayed and did the work in the church. And so in verse 10 we see my fellow brother, Aristarchus. Let's go with that. Send you his, and seminary to say, if you don't know how to pronounce it, just make it up and people will believe you. Aristarchus, send you this greeting, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends his greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved comfort to me. These three Jewish men stayed with Paul. In verse 14, our dear Luke, our dear friend, the doctor, he stayed and worked. I remember when this church started, First Chinese, we're all members of First Chinese Baptist Church, and they sent 14 families to come here to this side of town and do the work. And I remember how hard it was for us to work, and we did the work. We met in the afternoons at another church. We bought this property. We built. We did a lot of work. We sacrificed. But we never must forget that First Chinese also had a hard time filling our slots. They had to take our places in the church, the ones that we gave up, to come here. They had to fill the void. And you have to remember that the 14 families that came here, we were all servants. We were serving the Lord at First Chinese. We were all givers. And to sacrifice, 30, 40 people was a big sacrifice. And so some of the brothers, I remember talking to them after we had left a year or two later, they're saying how hard it was to fill the void. Some have to stay and do the work, and they should be recognized just as much as those that we send outside the church. And those that stayed with Paul, the three Jewish people, Aristarchus is identified as Paul's fellow prisoner and fellow worker. He stayed with Paul no matter what the challenge was, no matter how bad the circumstances was. He was with Paul when the riot occurred in Ephesus. He was with Paul when the ship sunk in the Mediterranean Sea and they all had to jump into the water. He was with Paul in his Roman imprisonment. And he didn't run away from Paul when the times got tough. He stayed with Paul. And what's interesting is Aristarchus was not an official Roman prisoner, but he stayed in the prison to help Paul. He shared his confinement to help him and comfort him. You know, many times in prison you only get meager food, so sometimes your friends are able to bring you food and fresh fruits. And he would come and minister to Paul and take care of them, and he would relay messages to and from the churches. Isn't it amazing? He was a voluntary prisoner for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel and Jesus Christ. He stayed and did the work. Then when they talk about John Mark. And what's interesting about John Mark, he was there from almost the beginning of the book of Acts. John Mark was a little kid. And he was, I call him the church kid. He grew up in church. He grew up around all these great apostles. And like you, many of you and me, we started going to church when our parents shipped us off to church when we were little. Many of us are like that. Many of us are church kids. At one time, Paul became angry and disappointed with John Mark because he took him on his first missionary journey, and halfway through, John Mark got homesick and he ran home to Jerusalem. And because of that, Paul and Barnabas, the two missionaries, got into a fight about John Mark and they split up. And so John Mark not only deserted Paul, but he caused them, the missionary team, to split into two. It wasn't a good time for the church. But what I love about John Mark is, and what's an encouragement to all of us, is that he failed in his first attempts to serve God, but he didn't sit around and slouch. He didn't quit. He didn't give up on God. His love for God, the Holy Spirit compelled him to go back into ministry and to work hard, and he proved himself faithful to the Apostle Paul and to the Lord. And he's recognized in this letter as a faithful servant. He was one of the men who stayed. And that's why when we work with each other, my goal is to encourage you to serve. If you don't do a good job, if you fail, if you make a mistake, that's okay. Let's keep working. Get back in your position. Let's walk together. We don't want to give up on anybody. After all, John Mark, that church kid who failed the Lord, but came back, he ended up writing the Gospel of Mark. Isn't that powerful? From one failure to a success. And then we see Jesus Justus was a Jewish believer also, and he served with Paul, but we know nothing about Jesus Justus, just his name. And it's interesting that Jesus was a very common name in the New Testament. Jesus actually was a modern translation of Joshua. And it was a very popular Jewish name. It was not unusual for Jewish people to be named Jesus. But also he had a Roman name, and that was Justus. So he was known as Jesus Justus. And to me, he represents those believers, like many of you, that never receive any commendation or recognition. He just mentioned, and Jesus Justus, he's with me. That means he's my brother, and he encourages me. And so three Jewish men stayed and did the work. And then we see that Paul mentioned Luke. And what's fascinating about Luke is Luke was a Gentile. And when Paul, remember in 2 Corinthians, Paul had a physical affliction. He was suffering from a thorn in his side. It caused him great pain. Many people speculate that he was going blind. Some people speculate that he had malaria. And it's amazing that Paul, he asked for healing. God, I'm your servant. Heal me. He asked three times for healing, for God to heal him, and God said no. Yet, Paul performed healing ministries and healing miracles with other people, but God said no. My grace is sufficient enough. In your weakness, you are strong. And so instead of sending a miracle, God sent Paul, Luke, the physician. So he sent Luke, the physician, the Gentile physician, to walk with him. And it's interesting, at this point in history, the profession of medicine had been perfected by the Greeks. And the physicians were held in high regard. They were sought after. They were wealthy. They were recognized and honored. But yet Luke committed to help Paul. He walked with Paul. He stayed with Paul all through his Roman imprisonment. He was there when that ship sank in the Mediterranean Sea. Luke was with him, drowning and almost dying. And so this professional, successful, and educated man helped Paul. He was committed to share the gospel. Luke would go on to write the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And so Luke is a glowing example of a professional man who uses his skills to serve the Lord. Maybe you're a professional. You work in an office. You work in a white collar area. God can use your skills. He wants to use you where you're at. And so does God want you to stay? If you're committed to stay here at Northwest, God wants you to do the work. He doesn't want you just to sit and stay. He wants you to do the work. So where is God calling you? If you are staying here at Northwest to do the work, you need to ask yourself, where am I serving? Am I serving somewhere? Am I serving the Lord? And then we go on to our next person, and some who prayed. Some who prayed. Verse 12 says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He was always wrestling in prayer for you. What a powerful word. He's wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. We met Epaphras when we first started the study, because he is the one that became a believer in Ephesus through Paul's ministry. And then Epaphras, because of the message, the gospel message, he went to Colossae and started that church. Paul didn't start the church. And they believe he started the churches in Laodicea and Hierapolis. And, you know, it's a powerful that he wasn't a preacher, he wasn't a minister, he wasn't called and seminary trained, but he believed in the gospel, and he went and started three churches with the gospel message. And how is this possible that an ordinary person can do this? Well, it says that he wrestling for you in prayer, and he works hard. He prays hard, and he works hard. You know, many Christians are like, I don't know what to do, I can't do anything. Well, you need to pray hard, and you need to work hard. He prayed constantly to stay in connection with God. He didn't just pray when he felt like it. He didn't pray because we had a prayer meeting. He prayed all the time to stay connected to God. He wrestled in prayer. That means his prayers were agonizing. He would pray with great emotion and passion. The word agonizing means he poured his heart out to God on behalf of the churches. That same word is used to describe Jesus' prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus' sweat drops of blood, when he's praying, Thy will be done, Lord, Thy will be done. Do we pray like that? Do we pray personally for people? Do we name people and lift them up to God? Do we ask God to use us? We will work hard, God, if you answer this prayer, let me serve these people. See, Epaphras did not pray for everyone in general and nobody in particular. He prayed for people in particular, not for everybody in general. He prayed for all these churches, Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis, that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he put his prayers into actions by preaching and teaching the word. See, his prayers were not an impersonal religious exercise. Oftentimes we just throw prayers out and think that's good enough. But he didn't pray that way. He carried people in his heart when he prayed. Isn't that a powerful thought? When I pray for you, I want to carry you in my heart. When I pray for your healing and for your spiritual needs, I want to carry people in my heart. When you think about your prayers this week, when you have your quiet time, you're praying personally for the people God put on your heart, carry them in your heart. You know, you should have a prayer journal or a piece of paper or something that lists the names of people you are praying for. Some need to be saved. Some need to be more like Jesus. Some need to defeat the work of Satan in their lives. Some need to be healed. But you need names of people in your prayer journal. So is God calling you to pray? Is that what he wants you to do? Is he calling you to pray hard and to work hard? That's how you change the world, one life at a time. Sometimes God will just put someone on my heart, and I'll pray for him, and I'll pray for him, and I go, why are you putting that on my heart? And I don't get any peace until I go talk to that person, until I talk to them and see what God wants me to do. So you note that everybody had different responsibilities. Not everybody were the prayer warriors. Not everybody were sent as missionaries. Not everybody stayed. And so God has different roles and different responsibilities for everybody. God's not using everybody in the same way. The key is that they were dearly loved because they were brothers and sisters in Christ. They were loved as brothers, and they were faithful servants. That's what God calls you to be. How you serve, what role, that's up to you and God. But as we read one more name in the book of Colossae, and it's very telling. Some strayed. Some stayed, some were sent, some prayed, but some strayed. And we see in verse 14, and Demas sends his greetings. It's interesting that Demas receives no special word or commendation. Well, Demas says hi. But when we look at 2 Timothy 4:9, maybe we see why. 2 Timothy 4:9, do your best to come quickly, for Demas, because he loved the world, has deserted me and had gone to Thessalonica. Only Luke is with me. I imagine as Paul's writing quoting, he's dictating that letter, he probably was hurting. Demas deserted me. He loved the world. He left me. Went to Thessalonica. Maybe Thessalonica was a party town. I don't know. Only Luke is with me. Good old Luke. Luke's still there with him while he's sitting in a Roman prison. When this was written, Paul was facing death. Paul had already admitted, in 2 Timothy, his last letter, Paul knew he was going to die. He was beheaded because he was a believer. This is his second or third imprisonment. Demas deserted me. Only Luke is with me. And so Demas left Paul. He strayed. He wandered from the faith. His sin was that he loved the present world. The word world in this passage means the whole system of things that run this world. The things that make this world move. Maybe it's politics. Maybe it's popularity. Maybe it's money and profit. But those things Demas left for that world. This world means a society without God. See, John Mark had deserted Paul. It said in Acts that John Mark deserted Paul and Barnabas. Demas deserted Paul. But John Mark returned and was restored. Because I think he was a believer. He trusted in Jesus. And even though we make mistakes and we goof up, embarrass ourselves, I embarrassed myself during a Bible study this morning, tried to read some scripture verses, and every time the teacher called on me, I read the wrong one. And everybody's laughing, had a good time, but we love the Lord, so they welcomed me back in the fellowship. I was returned and restored. But Demas deserted Paul, which means he deserted the Lord and was never reclaimed. I imagine it hurt Paul when Demas left. It breaks my heart when people leave this church to go somewhere else, or especially when they leave and don't worship the Lord. So don't make me cry, don't leave. People ask me that, what about these people like Demas? What happens to them? Why are they believers? Do they know Christ? Are they sincere believers? You know, they're baptized believers. They served for a while and they no longer worship God. I can only say, I don't know. I don't know, because we know people, great people in the Bible, sinned against God. But many of those returned and were restored because the Spirit brought them back. And so I don't judge people. I only want to encourage you to encourage those that you know that no longer worship the Lord, to remember their commitment, to remember what God had done for them, remember that God loves them, that God still has a plan and purpose for their lives. But the Apostle Paul in the first letter of John gives us these words that we have to take seriously. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Scripture always gives us scripture that makes us think. So do you belong to Jesus? Are you going to stay and do the work? Are you going to be sent by God to do the work? Are you going to pray and do the work, or will you stray? See, what happens? Why do we stray? Why do we lose our direction? For one reason, it's because we do not know the will of God in our lives. We don't know the Father's will. You know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we don't know the Father's will, how can we serve God? The other reason is we don't have the love of Christ moving through our hearts. It's the love of Christ that moves us to act. Or maybe we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit empowering us. See, if we don't have God's will, we don't have God's love or God's power, you'll grow tired. You'll get bored with ministry and you'll give up and quit. So today I want to ask you, how are you serving God? Where would your name fall in this letter if Paul was describing you? Are you being sent? Maybe it's just going across the street. I walked across the street last night to meet a new neighbor and invite him to our church. Are you going to stay and do the work and serve God here? Many of you are using your skills to serve the Lord. I know Ed's doing another balloon ministry training soon. We're using our skills to serve the Lord here. Or will you pray? And as you pray, you do the work, or will you stray? So our last point says this: encourage and build up one another. As a believer in Christ, as a member of this church, that is your calling, to encourage and build up one another. Colossians 4:15. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and Nympha and the church in her house. And after this letter has been read to you, see to it that also you also read the church, the letter, read in the church. Read it. See that it is also read in the church of Laodicea, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus to see to it that you complete the work that you have received from the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains, grace and peace with you. Grace be with you. And so when they sent a letter, well, these guys were carrying several letters. And they take them to a different church and they go, after you read that letter, get a copy of their letter and read it to each other, because there's different content, different input. And at the end it says that, see, I'm writing, Paul signing off with his own handwriting. When he wrote this letter, he didn't actually physically write it. He used a amanuensis, a scribe, a secretary, probably Silas, and they would write this letter out, or probably Luke would write the letter out, and Paul said, I'm going to sign it now, or put my name, and everybody knew it was from him. So Paul encourages them to read God's word and read each other's letters, and we don't have that copy of that letter for Laodicea. Then he sent one more encouragement to one more man, Archippus, to complete his work. Just another encouragement. Keep doing your work. That man was described in another letter as a fellow soldier in Christ. See, we're supposed to encourage and build each other up. Last week we talked about how the gift of speech can be used to bless people. Its highest form is to pray to God and praise God. Another high form of our gift of speech is to proclaim the gospel message. But we can also use it in this church to encourage and build up one another. So I ask you this, are you building up people or are you tearing them down? Are you building bridges of relationships or are you building barriers to keep people out of your life? Are you always being served? People have to keep serving you, or are you now serving others? Are you always asking people to pray for you because of your problems and your pain? Or are you asking people, how can I pray for you? Pastor Vernon McGee makes this quote about Christians in general. The only exercise some Christians get is running down others and jumping to conclusions. You know, is that how you are? You're tearing at things? We're supposed to be bodybuilders. We're supposed to build up the body of Christ spiritually. That only happens when we use our spiritual gifts and love each other and we're faithful servants. Look at Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. How do we keep from straying? We look to Christ. We build up each other. We spur each other along. You know, spur is what cowboys wear to make the horses move in the right direction. We need a church full of friends who are committed to sharing the gospel by staying centered on the gospel message, to hold on to the hope we profess that we have eternity in Christ our Lord, to spur each other on towards love and good deeds. Are you loving people and doing good deeds for them? To keep meeting together, encouraging one another, the best place to start is to worship together corporately like we do on Sunday, but also join a Bible study, a fellowship, or a small group. And so as we come to the close of this letter, this study of Colossae, I learned more in it than I ever imagined. It's a remarkable letter. It's a powerful letter. But remember, the reason it was written, because false gospels were infiltrating the church. People were saying, you need Jesus, plus you need something else. But we don't need anything else. Jesus is superior. We're complete in Jesus Christ. When we are in Christ, our faith is strong and our relationships are sweet. If you look at your life today, are your relationships strong? Is your relationship with God strong? Is your relationship with the people around you sweet? If not, you need to put Christ first in your life. So here today, I want to ask you, have you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Have you been baptized as a testimony of your faith? Have you joined this church to serve and work in this church? Are you becoming the person God wants you to be by loving people and spurring them on towards good deeds? If not, what kind of person will you be? What role will you serve in this church? Let's pray. Father, we realize that reading a bunch of names at the end of a letter is not that exciting, but I appreciate, Lord, every testimony that we see in each of these names. And I pray that each of our brothers and sisters in Christ will have a testimony of how they serve you and the difference it made in their lives or in the lives of another. I pray, Father, that some of us will be sent and go across the street or across the world to share the gospel. And those of us who, some of us will stay and do the hard work. And some of us will pray hard and do the even harder work. And I pray, Father, that no one will stray, that their love for you will be bound by their commitment to you and empowered by the Holy Spirit. So bless our hearts today, Lord. What do we need to do to be more like Jesus? What do we need to do, Lord, to share your love and do good deeds? Touch our hearts now, Lord. We just want to thank you for calling us and using us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a decision song. And if you're ready to make a commitment to the Lord about where your life is headed, let's come forward and I'll pray with you. Let's stand as we sing.